This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome to the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Julian Ng, and today is the last Thursday of the month. We have Ring It Ringin'. Please call us with your burning financial questions. 0377109000 is the number to call. You can also text us at 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We prefer you to call where we have a licensed financial planner standing by, VP Thanga Velu, who's the CEO of Blueprint Planning, which is a licensed financial planner. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Julian, and thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's start with a message from our sponsor, OCBC Bank, and they are focusing on resolutions. And the resolution for this month is how to invest smarter. I'm sure this is something that we look at all the time.
Yep.
Thanga, do you have any insights to give on this?
Yeah, smart investment is always what everybody wanted to get into. I look at it from a different angle, where that smart investment is always comes with smart goals. Okay, if you don't have a proper goal, then it will be a bit challenging to even invest or even smartly invest. So first of all, what I feel that the listeners out there, you have to sit and have a very clear and holistic goal. Set a very clear goal on the time frame and when you want the money for what. You know, for example, education goal. Okay, when your children are going for education, is it local? Is it overseas? And because every goal have a different value, and then you have to factor in it with the inflation of that education. Okay, then you come back and sit down and see how much you have now and what is the shortfall. Then we have to look at your risk tolerance. You know, some people, when we talk to them, oh, I can take a lot of risk, you know, no issue. But then when we do the test, they are falling in the low risk taker. Then we ask, what happened? I'm not into high risk taking. So we have to plan accordingly. If it's really a need to elevate the risk tolerance, then the client have to cautiously accept the idea of elevating. And then after that, once the risk tolerance is done, and then we know the profile of the investment, then we have to look at whether it is offshore, onshore, you know, the currency risk, all these things. Then whether it is a monthly, investments and so on. Only then it will be the client, even the client will have a confidence that what are they getting into. And then it is smart in the way, in the sense that they understand very well what they need and what are they doing now. And that is where when situation like current economic situation, slowdown and all those things, they actually won't worried about the current situation much, because their goal is not today.
Well, thank you for that. So your idea of investing smartly is actually to have some financial goals, know your risk tolerance, and then execution of that investment plan.
Yes.
And that's how you invest smartly. Okay, those are wise words. So if you need to know more about this, actually, you can go to OCBC's website, which is ocbc.com.my/MrCoach/invest. On there, you can actually find a lot of tips and ideas as well. Don't forget, today is Ring It Ringin'. We have a financial planner standing by. He's VP Thanga Velu, the CEO of Blueprint Financial Planning, who's also a licensed financial planner. And the number to call is 0377109000. You can also text us at 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, Thanga, one of the very topical things that's been in the news is, of course, the EPF cut by 3%, right?
Yeah.
And this is an opt-out system. We talked about it this last week, different things that you can do with 3%.
Mm.
If you really want to opt out of this, you actually got to sign up and say that you want to maintain EPF investments at 11%.
You're right.
What's your view on this?
Okay. Personally, I feel that if you you are really tight. Your cash flow is, you know, you can't even have additional one ringgit. Then maybe this small amount, or depends on how big is the salary, will help to help you in your cash flow. But holistically, what the government feels that when this money is spent outside, so it improves the economy and all those things. So on that basis, it's fine. But then personally, you have to calculate. If you take out today, and if you spend it, how much you're going to lose when you retire? And a rough calculation will say that for 5% interest for every 1 ringgit, you will lose about 3 ringgit to 4 ringgit in about 20 years' time.
So 3 to 4 times over the time period of 20 years. That's very substantial.
So unless you take that amount and you're going to invest in a reasonable return vehicle, then it may reduce that. So it all depends individually whether you need to take it out or opt for not to remain with 11%.
Today is Ringgit Ringin, and you can call us with your financial questions, money questions. The number to call is 03771090000, or you can text us at 0162019000, or tweet us at BFM Radio. VP Tanga Valu, CEO of Blueprint Financial Planning, is on the line with us. We got a caller, Badri. Badri, please go ahead and ask your question.
Hello. Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, good morning.
I want to ask about, I think Julian did cover this last week on the 3% from the Cable SP from the APF. I want to know, if we use the 3% and we put it into our PRS account, would that be a good move or what? Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Badri. Okay. As I told you, if it goes into an investment, then the investment is being monitored and giving a reasonable return, of course, it's good. Mm-hmm. If you ask me, it should give more than EPF. If not, there is no point of we taking it out. That's the benchmark.
Well, we lost Badri there, but I think the question is still very relevant. And that comment about taking out of EPF and self-investing by putting it into a PRS fund. PRS is also for retirement, but
yes.
PRS is actually more expensive than EPF to buy into, right? You got to pay sales charges and you got to pay expensive management fee, whereas EPF is managing your money cheaply.
Okay, great question, Julian. Actually, not all PRS funds are very expensive. There are PRS funds which is 0% service charge.
But then you make up for it by paying more management fees.
Yeah, some management fees also 2%. It depends on the funds, actually. But that is why the benchmark here is EPF return. So if you are taking out for any reason from EPF and you wanted to invest, the benchmark should be EPF. I mean, about 5% or 5.5% average. Okay. If it cannot reach that return, then you have to think about it. Yeah. So whether better to leave it with EPF and with very low risk, and you can get something out of it.
Oh, of course, we have to acknowledge the fact that EPF paid very good returns last year, almost 6.5%.
Yes,
and that is not the kind of magic that EPF can give year in and year out, right?
Yeah.
But considering the very challenging times that we are in right now, do you think that those external funds can do much better than EPF?
Yes. Provided that it's been monitored, periodically, and whatever changes or switchings is done, of course, rebalancing is done, then it should give, historically, based on our historical figures, it should give a better return, mostly the equity funds. In fact, even our current market equity funds are relatively cheaper. So it's time, this thing to go in at a cheaper rate.
Tanga, I just want to continue with that conversation of PRS, right? So what are your expectations of long-term investment returns right now for a risky profile person? Because we are so concerned and we're so worried these days about how volatile the markets are, ringgit crashing, oil price crashing. So what are your expectations for long-term market returns?
in the investment environment, long-term investment is the choice. Okay, but if that is why I initially talk about the setting of goals. Okay, so when you set a goal, this goal must be at least 3 years or more in order for you to invest. If it's anything less than 3 years, I personally feel that you shouldn't invest that amount. You should keep it in FD or savings account, even though the interest rate is low, because you need it in within 3 years. And if you were to invest and all that, there's an investment cost and the market for volatility and so on. But if it is more than 3 years, the longer the goal is, it will be cheaper for you to invest. And then you can generally take certain risks because your goal is in the next 10 or 15 years to go. So that will also will give a very good platform for you to invest. And then earlier on the PRS, I would like to also point out that when you invest in PRS, you also will get tax deduction.
Okay, we have a caller on the line. Venuga is on the line. Venuga, please ask your question. Venuga, are you on the line? Okay, we seem to have lost him. Venuga, if you're listening, please do call us back. The number is 0377109000 or text us 0162019000. Also tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a question from text here, actually, from Kim. All analysts said that if I can keep my money, I can get better returns. Can someone name any of the funds with better returns than EPF? I'm not sure if, and he's naming a fund here, Kenanga Growth Fund is good based on historical records. So what are names of funds that are better than EPF? And is Kenanga Growth Fund a good fund?
Okay. I mean, it may not be appropriate to, I mean, mention a fund name because the funds are good in their own way. Okay, but Kenanga Growth, of course, if you look at it historically, it's one of the good funds. Yeah, I don't deny that.
What are the selling features of a growth fund? What does a growth fund usually mean in terms of risk and returns?
Okay, growth funds means that their objective is to grow in the sense that it gives a return and then a very high return. The characteristic of a growth fund is that the fluctuation will be there.
So very risky.
Very risky. So that is why continuous investments will be a very good one. As the listener, Kenanga Growth is locally one of the good funds so far it's performing. We also have other funds with other fund houses. A lot of actually local fund houses they have. East Spring, they have some good funds. You know, even RHB Investment, they have some good funds. All fund management companies have some good funds.
Mm-hmm. So the growth funds usually silo themselves into certain salient features, and one feature of that is that it offers you growth, but because it offers you high growth, it's also very risky.
Yes,
right? So
yes.
If you, Kim, if you would like to invest in this fund, you have to make sure that you can stomach the risk. And
yes,
that means that you got to be very long-term.
You have to understand that there is a risk. Usually what happened is through my experience to generally when we talk to people, they either they ignore or they don't really know about the risk. They only concentrate on the return, which is a very wrong way of doing investments. So they have to understand. So only then when the times are not so good, you know, when the economy slow down and all that, because this growth fund will usually follow the economic, trend. So then you won't get, frustrated or tensed up and all those things.
It's performing as advertised, right? We have another question here that is related to what we're talking about regarding long-term and short-term. Can you recommend some good investments to make this year?
This year, that's why again short term.
You shouldn't be talking about 1 year or one month or 1 week, right?
Yes,
that's dangerous.
They're very, very dangerous. That's why I told just now that if it is within 3 years, if you want to achieve something and you want to achieve it through investment, please don't get into the investment mode. No. I mean, experience have. I can give you one. One of my client came. He said somebody he wanted to renovate his house 6 months down the road. So this person or whoever, you know, unit trust, they said that, oh, you invest, we can get it. But the charges out there is sometimes 5 to 5.5% upfront. So within 6 months, I can't imagine how these things can be happen. And what happened was when he need the money, he actually already down 15% or 10%. So again, please change your mindset. Don't go for 1 year. Go for at least more than 3 years.
I think most people think that the stock market is a place where you can make free money when yes. that's not true, right?
Yes.
The shorter your time frame, the closer it becomes to gambling.
Yes, gambling. Yeah, it's like play Damachai or...
It's ring in. You can call us with your financial questions 0377109000 or text us at 016-201-9000. And tweet us at BFM Radio. I also want to go back, Tanga, to this issue of cost. I mean, the cost of buying into a fund, 1.5% management fee per annum, 5% sales charge, 3% sales charge, that also hits your investment returns, right?
I totally agree with you, Julian, because if you see some other countries, the charges are very minimum, you know. But we already seen some element of zero this thing in the PRS funds. But with the financial advisors, they able to reduce that cost in the beginning. Yes, the financial advisors have that platform to do it. But then usually out there, it is fixed and looks like fund management companies, you know, they are stick to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got another question here. I hope to achieve my EPF contribution, but I find that at my age of 29, I would like to explore other options of investing small portions of my money that's not used in my master's. I can't read this. Mm. I'm also working full time. What's your advice for someone like me who wants to start investing small in unfavorable market conditions right now? I guess the timing, even though we say 1 year is a short time frame, but the timing now seems like it's a pretty good time to get in. So this person is asking, investing in small portions in small unfavorable market conditions.
Okay, we talk about small. Usually, it's unit trust is the best, you know, in a small amount, because it's even 1,000 you can start investment. After that, subsequently about 100 ringgit a month. But then again, as I told you about the setting up of a goal, in the goal setting, we also will find that do you have money for emergency, you know, all these things comes in.
Okay. I think we discussed that already. We have a caller on the line, Jennifer. Jennifer, please go ahead with your question.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I understand that if EPF for last year gave us a good rate of 6.5, how are you able to quantify what exactly is a good return, like in terms of percentage? Since a good tenure is 3 years and above, I hope that you are able to at least identify, because there's so many out there saying that we give a 6%, 8%. It would be good to identify, averagely, what is a good percentage. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jennifer. What is the benchmark for what you think are good returns?
Okay. Again, it varies, because a low-risk investor cannot say that I want an 8% return. Okay. Because a low-risk investor, their return range is between 3 to about 5, okay? So it depends on what is the category of risk-taking are you in. If you are in the higher risk category, of course, your range will be 7 to 8% onwards. So then you can say that your range will be more than 8% is a good for you. But of a medium person will be in between 5 to 8.
So EPF would be considered what you call a medium or balanced risk investment.
Even though it is giving the return on the medium side of kind of return, but then EPF is a more of a low risk savings. I should say that it's not so much of investment, it's more of savings. Because of a quantity and the government is there to back up, so they can, give such a return.
If you do look at the asset allocation of EPF, it does translate to more of a balanced investor.
Yes.
60% non-risky assets and 40% in risky assets. We got time for one last question, I think. is it a good time to invest in gold to preserve my savings? This is from Yao Lo, who asked this question.
It has been quite famous nowadays asking about gold. Gold investment, you asked me, is about 2 to 5% of your total available cash for investments, because the underlying theory of what you call gold is, gold will only zero rise inflation. Mm-hmm. That's the history I've proven, and all the experts have been telling this many times. So people get carried away, maybe because of the glittering of the gold, you know. So it's not so such, you know, you can invest, but you should invest periodically, you know, to leverage it, so it can buy, zero-rise your investment, inflation, that's all.
Thanks so much for your time. That was Thanga Velu, CEO of Blueprint, who is a licensed financial planner, on this month's version of Ringgit Ringin. You've been listening to Ringgit and Sense, BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.